It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, an Appleton project is loaning people unique heirloom garden seeds. The founder of the Appleton Seed Library joins the show. First, a new report is raising questions about U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. According to Forbes, a confidential settlement was reached 2 weeks ago between Ross and a former business partner. That partner had accused Ross of stealing his interests in a private equity fund, transferring them to himself, then trying to cover it up. The settlement came right before the case was to go to trial with $4 million on the line. That may just be the tip of the iceberg, according to the Forbes report. It talked with 21 people who know Ross and say he engaged in fraudulent activity. Added together, the total could come to more than $120 million. Forbes estimates Ross to be worth some $700 million. In a statement, the Commerce Department has denied any wrongdoing and said that, quote, this rehash of old stories is clearly the result of a personal vendetta, end quote. Dan Alexander is the Forbes reporter behind the story. He covers Donald Trump, the people around him, and how they affect business. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, this was just part of the story we mentioned there. Can you give us the big picture, the various things that Wilbur Ross is accused of in allegations and in lawsuits?
Sure. Basically, they fall into two categories. One is that there is a remarkable number of people who used to work with Wilbur Ross who claim that after they left his firm, he stole their interests. And the second is that there are a lot of investors who worked with Wilbur Ross who say that he was skimming money from them as he was supposed to be investing their money, or that his firm was doing so. And this has led, as you said, to a lot of lawsuits, even an SEC fine that was levied just a couple of months before Donald Trump named Wilbur Ross to be the next Secretary of Commerce.
Talk about how that skimming works. Go into a little detail about the investors who were, in effect, being charged money they didn't think they were being charged.
Yeah, so there were a couple of different ways that it allegedly happened, and I want to emphasize that these are, you know, all allegations. We don't, most of them were settled, so we don't know exactly, you know, which of the allegations are right, but the patterns are remarkably similar across all of them. And generally, here's how it worked. So private equity firms, most of the money that they take in a lot of cases, are what's called management fees. And management fees are sort of the oxygen, if you would, for a private equity firm. This is, you know, 2% of all of the assets that they manage every year they get to take as a fee. Now, that adds up to a lot of money. You know, Wilbur Ross, his firm was managing like $4 billion. So, you know, 2% on that would be $80 million, 1.5% would be $60 million. You get the picture. So what they do is they say to the investors, okay, we're going to charge you a lot of money to hold these assets and manage them for you, but then we're going to give you basically a rebate on them. So if we're working on the deals, let's say that we invest in, I don't know, a shipping company, and then we serve on the board of that shipping company, then we're personally going to get fees for serving on that board. But that's not really fair for us just to get the money, because we're just doing our jobs looking after your investment. So what we'll do is we'll take the management fee amount and we'll give you a discount on that. And we'll say, okay, you know, now you pay the 1.5% minus however much we got in the board fees. And they weren't giving back as much of the board fees as they had promised. So some of the investors noticed this and caught wind of it, passed it up to the SEC, and ultimately that led to the fine. That was one of the alleged schemes. I can go into the other if that would be interesting to you as well.
Well, let's get into the other side of things. You mentioned the idea that former business associates say they had been, they're alleging that they were illegally locked out of their assets, or their assets were, I don't know how that works exactly. Ross and his company had taken them over. How did that part of things allegedly work?
So basically, the allegations are that after people left, you know, people who had served in the firm had gotten two types of interests. One were an investment that they might have put into a certain fund, and then that investment would either appreciate or depreciate depending on the performance of the fund. That's called a capital account. And then the second part was their carried interest. So if a private equity fund performs very well, then the people who are running that private equity fund get sort of an outsized share of the profits of it. And that part's called the carried interest. So the allegations here are that after those people left the firm, they still held those interests, they say. But what happened was their interests were then basically confiscated from them. So In the case of the capital accounts, those accounts were zeroed out, and then the money was redistributed to other people, primarily to Wilbur Ross, say the allegations. And in the case of the carried interest, similar thing would happen. The allegations are that Wilbur basically just stole it and said, you know, I'm going to take your carried interest now. So if these funds do particularly well, the share of the profits that you would have gotten are now going to go to me.
Talking to Dan Alexander from Forbes about his reporting on U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and multiple allegations of fraudulent activity. Here's a response from the Commerce Department. We read a bit of it earlier. Quoting here, the anonymously sourced Forbes story is based on false rumors, innuendo, and unverifiable claims. The fact remains that no regulator has made any of these accusations against the secretary. This rehash of old stories is clearly the result of a personal vendetta. The baseless claims made in this story were well publicized long ago and are not news. You on Twitter had taken some of those statements and challenged them. What was your response?
Well, I could take a long time going through that statement, but we'll just sort of start at the top with the, you know, attempt to discredit the story by saying that it's all based on anonymous sources. You know, there are four of Wilbur Ross's former employees who are actively pursuing litigation against the Commerce Secretary. It's hard to do anything less anonymously than file a lawsuit. You're putting your name next to an allegation in the public domain for posterity. And so if you have four people doing that all at once, and you have the SEC leveling a fine against the firm, and the SEC making the accusations that you misled and defrauded your investors, to say that all of that together somehow means that the story is based on anonymous sourcing goes to the very heart of the story, which is that a lot of these claims that they're making are not credible. And so you're trying to discredit a story by making a not very credible claim in itself. What was the second part that they said about it?
Regulator, they say, has made these accusations.
Yeah, so, you know, the SEC fined the firm and, you know, did make the accusations that the firm had defrauded and misled investors. It's true that in the settlement, the SEC does not name Wilbur Ross personally, but it was all against W.L. Ross. This is not a very large firm by private equity standards. And Wilbur Ross, according to the former employees, sort of led it by decree. He was, you know, the only guy running it from 2001 up until 2016, the whole time that those allegations were made and ultimately the settlement was agreed to. And those former employees say that these allegations were things that Wilbur would have definitely known about. Many of them say he orchestrated. So, again, I don't think it's a very fair way of putting it. I think it's a little misleading.
And this all comes as there's interest from members of Congress, including some Republicans, in Ross's disclosure or non-disclosure of his business interests, things he hadn't divested himself of even after he became Commerce Secretary. Give us a rundown on what's going on there.
Well, there's a lot going on there, but the basics of it are every time that a public official, particularly a high-ranking one, joins the government, they come to an agreement with the ethics office over which assets they're going to get rid of, and so that then they will not have conflicts of interest while they're serving. And Wilbur Ross, in November of 2017, filed a sworn document in which he swore that he had divested everything that he promised he would. At the time that he made that disclosure, that was not true. In fact, he owned at least $10 million of stock in the company called Invesco. This is a parent company of W.L. Ross, his old private equity fund. He also held an interest, which he had never disclosed, in a rail car manufacturer named Greenbrier. He also owned a stake in an air leasing company that he had said that he was going to divest, and he had a short interest in a bank called Sun Bank Corp, which he said that he thought that he owned a stake in, but did not own a stake in, and so he shorted it to try to balance out a stake that he believed he had. His explanation for all of that is that he made mistakes, that these were, you know, inadvertent errors. It's hard to get inside someone's head and to, you know what they knew at a certain time, but it seems difficult to believe that one of the most sophisticated investors in the country forgot about a $10 million stake in his former employer.
And briefly, what's the state of congressional interest and oversight of the Commerce Secretary?
There's a lot of it. So a brief rundown, there are two senators and one congressman who have asked the SEC to investigate an insider trading allegation, which is a separate thing that we can go into if you'd like. There are 14 congressmen who have asked the Inspector General of the Commerce Department to look into the ethics issues. The Office of Government Ethics was recently looking into those same issues, and Senator John Thune, who's a Republican from South Dakota, has recently asked the Inspector General also to review some of the conclusions that it drew in a previous report. So there's a lot of scrutiny around Secretary Ross right now.
Dan, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Dan Alexander is a reporter at Forbes. We talked about his recent report that says Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross may have defrauded multiple business associates of millions of dollars.